Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. A desire for freedom is something that is part of the shared human experience. Throughout the ages and within our own lifetime, there is this never-ending quest for freedom. From our youngest years, we sought independence from our parents. As young children, we started our lives close to home, relying on our parents, but through play, we pushed the boundaries of where we could play. From the backyard to the front yard, on the street, eventually our boundaries of play expanded to friends' homes, nearby parks, and other places peers of our age would gather. Through the years, what we did would change, with some going away to college and university, and others moving out to start their own life. Through these experiences, even when away at college and university, most of us were dependent on our parents. When we needed food, housing, clothes, and things, our parents supplied us with what we needed. And being younger, we didn't question what was given us. We didn't question what was given us, nor did we understand the underlying sacrifice that made possible what was given to us. We accepted what we had without question. And we accepted what we had without understanding all the effort and hard work that made it possible. As Christians, we find ourselves in a similar place. We have a faith where forgiveness of sin is prominent within our beliefs. We've come to a point where we accept that without question. We have a faith that gives us peace of mind in the face of a chaotic and confused world. We welcome that peace without question. We have faith that comes with hope of eternal life and our future place in the kingdom of God. And that hope continues to glow brightly in our hearts. With forgiveness of sin, peace of mind, and hope a part of our lives, we accept these without question. And yet, what we have through faith was made possible through an incredible sacrifice much bigger than the sacrifices our parents made for us. And it's important for us to remember that we were bought with a great price. During his earthly ministry, Jesus was approached by the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who sought a place of prominence for her boys. Parents want the best for their children, and I'm sure that's what their mother wanted for them. Her request ended up causing friction with the other disciples, especially when James and John affirmed that they would be able to do whatever was needed. Jesus explained that it would be up to God the Father to decide who would have the places of prominence in the kingdom of God, and offered that if a person sought a position of greatness within the faith, that person should seek to be a servant, showing how the sacrifice of Jesus Christ was an act of ultimate service, how he would give his life as a ransom for many. Matthew 20, verse 20. Then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, What wilt thou? And she saith unto him, Grant that these my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand, and the other on the left, in thy kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, Ye know not what ye ask. Are ye able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of, and to be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they say unto him, We are able. And he saith unto them, Ye shall drink indeed of my cup, and be baptized with baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the ten heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren. But Jesus called them unto him and said, Ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The ransom paid through the sacrifice of Jesus was for sin. And it is Satan who wants us to sin and give up the fight of faith and eternal life. Until Satan is banished to the bottomless pit of Revelation and ultimately tossed into the lake of fire, we will have an enemy in our fight of faith and eternal life who seeks our destruction. The sacrifice of Jesus Christ made our salvation possible because there is nothing we could do of and by ourselves to give ourselves salvation. Knowing Jesus died so we can have eternal life, and knowing that his sacrifice was payment for our sins, we must remember that we were bought with a great price, an incredible price. While we live our life of faith without question, we must be very aware of this great price paid for us. And each day we acknowledge the great price paid for us by how we glorify God in our body and spirit. We never allow our body to become a tool that can be used by Satan in our spiritual destruction, nor do we allow our mind to become a tool that can be used by Satan in our physical destruction. We glorify God and maintain control of who we are physically and spiritually as we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Having been bought with a great price to afford us salvation, it's good for us to understand who bought us and who did not. There is no person on earth today, or who ever lived, with the exception of Jesus, who died so that we can have eternal life. Our loyalty needs to be with God the Father, who gave his only begotten Son, and to Jesus Christ, who died so that we can have eternal life. Spiritually, we serve Jesus Christ and God the Father. We might physically be servants of another person, but spiritually, we are only servants of Jesus Christ and God the Father. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, but uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. You are bought with a price, be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man, wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Knowing we have been bought with a great price leads us to live our lives not to ourselves, but to what God and Jesus Christ would have us do. We no longer pursue human life with just the physical focus of human life, but we pursue human life with a deliberate focus on what is spiritual. We no longer seek to keep up with the neighbors, and instead strive to become like Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance, and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. While we live in a world surrounded by everything that is physical, we look at the people in our lives beyond the physical world in which we live, considering what is needed by us to be part of the kingdom of God when Jesus Christ returns to earth. We live our lives as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, knowing what we say and do will cause people to form opinions about the faith and their relationship with God and Jesus Christ. Verse 16. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Because we have been bought with a great price by Jesus Christ, who paid the penalty of sin so that we can live, we are no longer under the curse of the law, which would only lead to our death, because simple obedience to the law is insufficient for salvation. Knowing we were bought with a great price, we live our lives by faith, knowing that Jesus died and was resurrected so that the price of our sins would be paid. Galatians 3, verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Because we have been bought with a great price, we have been blessed beyond measure, having been chosen by God the Father to be holy and without blame before him in love. We can remember from the book of Job how there was a day when the children of God came before God to present themselves, and how Satan used that occasion to seek the destruction of Job. Unlike Satan, who sought evil things, our life must seek what is holy and without blame in everything we do. Today, we do not physically come before God, but spiritually we do. So everything we do, including our human interactions with other people, needs to be done with a focus on what is holy and without blame. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. When we were bought and paid for with a great price, we were given access to a spiritual inheritance that had not been known before. We were taken from a place of spiritual darkness, where all we could focus on is what we could do, and taken to a place of faith and spiritual understanding. The expectation that came with the payment of this incredible price is that we do what God expects of us, that we live a life reflective of the spiritual calling we have been given, and that our knowledge and understanding of God continues to grow. Colossians 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We live knowing we have been bought and paid for with a great price through Jesus Christ, and we acknowledge that all things, spiritual and physical, were created through him, and that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who through his death reconciled all things to himself. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you, that you were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Peter reminds us, because we were bought and paid for with a great price through the blood of Jesus Christ, that we are to do what God expects of us, reaching for the righteousness that is of God in Jesus Christ, and leaving behind the life we had before our calling. Just as we were called by God who is holy, we are to be holy in what we say and do. And we do this seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and not being like Lot's wife, who when leaving Sodom looked back at the life she was leaving. We look forward to the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. As we live in the faith, we look to Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith, who through his death and resurrection paid the price for our sins. Having the debt of our sins paid, we no longer should live a life reflective of sin. And instead, we should live a life where righteousness is our focus, coupled together with the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, and you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. When Jesus died and was resurrected, the penalty of sin was paid, and salvation was made available. Having been redeemed from sin, we no longer need to practice sin and focus on doing what is right before the eyes of God as we await the return of Jesus Christ, and we do this even when living in a world that seems to be focused on doing what is evil. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto him a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Isaiah wrote of redemption. He explained how God will be with his people no matter the circumstances. Because God's people are precious in his sight, he will go to great lengths to redeem his people, even using foreign nations to pay a ransom for Israel. God promised to have people fight for them and to save their life, and that at a future time, Israel would be gathered together again. God will similarly fight for those who by the death and resurrection of a son are of the household of faith today. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east, and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Isaiah told the people that they sold themselves for nothing and would be redeemed without money, and then gave a glimpse of Jesus who was yet to come at the time of the writing of Isaiah, showing how through Jesus salvation would come to all by a redemption not involving money, which today we know as the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 52, verse 1. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. The book of Revelation revisits the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ as it gives us a glimpse into the throne room of heaven, with John given a vision of a lamb as it had been slain, with the four beasts and 24 elders worshiping Jesus and singing a new song, showing that through the blood of Jesus Christ, all people can be saved. Revelation 5, verse 1. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within, and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, and tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. The book of Hebrews compares the sacrifices of the Old Testament to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and showed how the sacrifices were presented in an ornately decorated holy place. Hebrews 9, verse 1. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service, and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick, and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna, and Aaron's rod that budded, and the tables of the covenant. And over it the cherubims of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot now speak particularly. Forgiveness of sin occurred in this holy place, and only the high priest could enter the most holy part of this holy place once a year, and to do so seeking the forgiveness of sin required the blood of a sacrificed animal. And this showed that at this time mankind was lacking access to that which was most holy, and was limited by the physical rituals they had access to. Verse 6. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. The Holy Ghost this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. Jesus Christ became the perfect sacrifice who with his death and resurrection obtained eternal redemption for us. Beyond just forgiveness of sin, as was offered by temple sacrifices, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ not only forgave our sins, but purged them from us, allowing us to serve God, to pursue righteousness instead of sin. Verse 11. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For of the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Paul, would speak of the great price that was paid so we could have eternal life. When he visited with the elders from Ephesus, he reminded them that the church of God, those who are called, who are of the household of faith, were bought and paid for with a great price, the blood of Jesus Christ, and that the church cannot allow itself to stray from this, because should we ever allow the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ to become something that is anything less than the incredible sacrifice and great price that it was so that we can be saved, we set ourselves up so that the church can be divided by ministers who seek followers of themselves more than they seek followers of Jesus Christ. Acts 20, verse 17. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that the bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto me, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day, that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Knowing of the great price that has been paid so that we can have eternal life, we must remain followers of Jesus Christ and not followers of a minister who seeks people to follow him, who will say anything to make that happen. Remaining followers of Jesus Christ because of the great price that has been paid so we can have eternal life is not always the easiest choice to make. It can be a lot easier to follow a man who has a great following, who uses great and swelling words of comfort. We, who are the household of faith, know our redemption is not yet final and is in the process of being finalized. It's sort of like when we buy groceries and we are with a cashier who is still scanning what we've bought. Until the cashier is finished and gives us a total, and until payment is made, the purchase isn't final. With the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's like the price has been prepaid for us, but we still must go through the scanning process to come to the total price. And that wait, as we seek first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, can sometimes be challenging, but we must endure to the end to be saved. Romans 8, verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Seeking first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, knowing a great price has been paid so that we can have eternal life, will lead us to live a life where we focus on doing what is righteous. No longer will our life have a focus on sin and doing what is sin. Having been bought with a great price, we walk in the newness of life made possible by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who, having been raised from death, is no longer subject to death. Similarly, we need to act and live our lives, giving no place to sin. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because of the great price paid for us, we reckon ourselves to be dead to sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. What it means when we reckon ourselves to be dead to sin is we focus not only on sin and only removing sin from our life, we are also focused on being alive to God through Jesus Christ in doing what is righteous. If all we do is remove sin from our life and never do what is righteous, it is like we will have created a spiritual void within us. Because of the great price paid for us, we will deliberately act so that doing sin that was once part of our life is replaced with doing righteousness as we live being alive to God the Father through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.